Well, probably reading quite a few scriptures tonight, verses that we know and enjoy and love. But I'd like to read you perhaps the theme of the little talk tonight. It's found in hymn number 48 in the Little Flock Hymn Book. I'll just read it. All taint of sin shall be removed. All evil done away. And we shall dwell with God's beloved in God's eternal day. I'm going to read that that verse again. Last verse of number 48. All taint of sin shall be removed, all evil done away. And we shall dwell with God's beloved through God's eternal day. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer, and there's no out. Well, it says in God's precious book, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so we do have a responsibility when we open God's word to take it up in a manner that would be honoring to him. So, it speaks in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Start there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I don't want to speak irreverently at all, brethren, but think of Isaiah sitting there in his room at the end of a long day of writing. And it says, he writes, he shall be exalted, he shall be extolled, he shall be very high. The kings of the earth are going to bow. What am I writing about here? Oh, they wondered, didn't they? They wondered, and they had glimpses. David, when he was writing, he said, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. My, he must have thought about that. Well, I was thinking mainly of these Old Testament prophets looking into the Word, or rather writing the Scriptures, and wondering what they were writing. Well, they inquired and searched diligently. Now, may we tonight also inquire and search diligently into the Word, because this God whom we've come to know and whom we've come to appreciate, and His Son whom has saved our souls and has given us this happy fellowship time like we've had tonight already, and we're walking through this world with all these precious things within, and we look out, and what do we see? We see people, classmates, maybe even workmates, maybe relatives, and that precious name means absolutely nothing to them. Nothing to them. There's one customer I have in my shop right now. His name is Joe Pfeiffer. His body has been opened up, and his heart has been worked on, and he's got pacemakers, and he's just living there barely on the very brink of eternity. No use for my Savior. None. Probably religious, though. Well, the Lord Jesus is despised tonight. He's not appreciated, but God has something in store for him. Now, it speaks about things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. I'm thinking tonight about the glory that the Lord will have right here on this very earth that you're walking on, that you go shopping and riding your bikes and driving on this earth, and these go into these cities of this earth. The name of the Lord Jesus is not appreciated. And if you were to speak up nowadays, they would say, just be quiet. Heard enough of that. Okay. Now, the Lord Jesus could say in John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me. Well, let's look at it, Matthew. Luke, John, chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee, or along with thee, before the world was. Oh, there's so much we could look at in every one of these scriptures we turn to, but for the sake of the half hour left or whatever, we want to get on with the subject. So, Revelation chapter 5. Now, this is the main part of what I intended to speak about tonight. And then we're going to look back into the Old Testament and see how these things were bestowed upon the Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Now, tonight, again, we're going to be looking at many precious scriptures. You don't have to turn to them all. But some are just, I wouldn't really encourage you to turn to some of them because they just, at least from my, in my own heart, they've been so wonderful. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, number one, riches, two, and so on, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Seven things there. Now, in heaven, oh my, heaven loves this one. All of heaven loves the Lord Jesus. And heaven, God the Father, is going to present to this world, it's going to be a tremendous surprise to some, but he's going to present the Lord Jesus to this world, and it starts out in a very awesome way. The first one is power. Power. Now, I took these five headings: power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. I looked around in Isaiah and Jeremiah to see what these prophets of old had to say about this by inspiration of God. Well, in the New Testament, it says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And so we see the power of God. We see it in creation, and we see the believer sees it and enjoys it every day. But the world despises it and has no use for it. They have their arm of their own strength. And so the first thing that the Lord Jesus does when he comes back to this earth, and he will come back, he's promised he would, is he's going to show his power. He shall go forth in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 13. He shall go forth as a mighty man of war. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Now, young people and children tonight, I'm in a way, I'm very glad that you don't know very much about the outside world out there. And it does say to be simple concerning evil. The scripture tells us that there are forces that are at work right to now, and they seem to be increasing. This world seems to be going down exponentially, just faster and faster. Remember those 2,000 pigs possessed by the demons? They went down a steep place into the sea. It seems like to me that this poor world and its rejection of Christ is heading downhill so rapidly. So rapidly. Well, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says he must reign. He's going to reign until he puts down all power that's against him and all authority that's against him. Zechariah 14, verse 9, the Lord shall be king. Zechariah 14, 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day. You notice in these prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, that day, that's the day when the Lord Jesus is going to rule and he's going to reign. Heaven looks forward to that day, that day, that day. The believer looks forward to that day. Oh, we look for the Lord's coming too. That's all. Oh, what a joy. But, and also along with that, God has interests. And he's written them down. He spent a lot of time talking about that day when his son is going to be exalted. You might say God stands tonight with his hands clasped behind his back like this when it comes to the actions of men and women and children in this world. Say, how can he? How does he? If someone came up to my son or my daughter and mistreated them, I would stand right up. I would. And you would too as a father and mother. Be careful. What are you doing? Or you may have something stronger than that to say. But God has, as it were, his hands behind his back at this time. All powerful indeed. But this is the day, the dispensation of the grace of God. And his mercy is lingering over this world. But oh, there'll come a day when he'll take his glittering sword out of the sheath and his hand is going to take hold on judgment. Oh, where will you be in that day? That day. Now that was the first one. The Lord Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. There are going to be other kings. Yes, there will be. But the Lord Jesus is going to be King of kings, Lord of lords, blessed and only potentate. You know, you and I can have him reign supreme in our hearts this very night. This very night. This world around us, generally speaking, the non-believers, the Lord Jesus doesn't reign in their hearts at all. They reign in their hearts. And Satan is going to give them a delusion. And the one that's going to reign in their hearts is the devil. Wouldn't that be awful? But so, right now, before all or any of this takes place here, you and I, most of us in the room have bowed the knee. It's so simple. You bend your knee. You bend your ankle. You bend your back. You bow yourself. You bend yourself down. Why? You're showing God that he's the one that rules in your life, not you any longer. Then, this one that had no place to lay his head, this one that had to ask for a penny, show me a penny. This one that had and took upon himself this poverty. And again, they took his clothes away from him. He's going to be the one that riches will be bestowed upon. Zechariah 14:14 says, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Oh, that's going to be wonderful when he's the king over all the earth. As the power, the riches, and more could be said there. We're coming down now to wisdom. Isaiah chapter 11 is the verse that I like for that. Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding. In the fear of the Lord he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then he starts to talk about those animals that have had so much trouble because of man's sin. But up here, we find this spirit of wisdom. You know, men, they try to figure out what's the matter with this poor earth. What's the matter with mankind? And they refuse to get to the root of the problem, that is, sin within the heart of every one of us. And they try to put man in a different circumstance to get him to change his ways. And they refuse the record that God has given of man, that is, all have sinned. But here's the one that's going to understand all this. And he's going to search out, like Job of old would search out someone that had a difficulty. And that became an honor to Job. That became made Job great when he found out somebody. He had the wisdom. He could find out what was the matter with a widow or someone like that, a fatherless. And he would come to their rescue. That brought Job honor, didn't it? Well, think of the Lord Jesus in the coming day. He's going to rule and he's going to govern. He's going to do it perfectly. He'll be able to search into the difficulties of this poor world. And he'll judge righteously with this wisdom God has for him. He'll discern the needs of the poor and the meek, won't he? And he's going to discern who the wicked are. And he's going to take them out of his kingdom. He's going to have this wisdom and largeness of heart. Think of that. Largeness of heart. He won't just keep this wisdom all to himself. This wisdom is just going to flow out in blessing, just like in the days of Solomon, when the wisdom of Solomon became known, the kings of the earth would gravitate to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Oh, they realized there was something different with that one. Yes, and there are going to be other kings in that day to come. And then there will come a day after that, eternal day, when there will only be one. But in this time we're speaking of tonight, there's going to be other kings, and they will bring their glory and honor and acknowledge the wisdom of this one, and that will bring additional glories to Christ that he wouldn't have gotten had there been no other kings around. So can you picture this? All these kings, if they don't come, you know, it won't rain on their land. And the Egyptians, they say, well, we don't need rain. We've got this mighty river out here. No, they'll have some other problem if they don't bring their riches and glory and honor unto the city of the living God, the great city and the great king. Well, largeness of heart. Oh, there's going to be blessing in the earth. Going to be blessing. Because this one has largeness of heart. Now we come to strength. Could we look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4? Well, let's read verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, the rock of ages, the margin says. The rock of ages. Oh my. You know, I like this saying. Men, they study rocks. They study geology and they get in there and they try to find out the ages of these rocks. And they start formulating these things, and they want nothing to do with the Rock of Ages. They study the ages of rock. But they need to know the Rock of Ages. And so, we have there in the fourth verse, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So he is the one that these people in the coming day can run to. And those of us that know him tonight have already come to know him as the Rock of Ages. Has he ever let you down? Never. He never has. Never has. Then we have, right, verse 8, he'll swallow up death in victory. Oh, the strength there. Able to completely take away the terror of death. And then with that mighty arm of strength, what does he do? Oh, he reaches out to this creation. You might say he just wipes the tears away. Wipes the tears away. There's so many tears tonight in this world. This world is shaped like a great big tear. Like a big tear. This world is weeping tonight because of sin. Because of sin. And he's going to wipe away tears from off all faces. Beautiful. 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 Oh, that's so sweet. Isaiah 41:10. Now this strength is towards his own. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Yes, today there are people that stand up. I had a man last night, 11 o'clock last night, was trying to tell me that he was going to come back in another form. He'd been in another form of life in the past, and he didn't do so well, so now he's trying to correct it in the present life, and if he doesn't make it in this one, in the next life, he will prevail. So much so that when he goes home from work and he sees a dead squirrel there, side the road, he picks that squirrel up, puts it in a plastic bag, and gives it a decent burial. He thinks that might be somebody in their past life. Oh, foolishness. They're going to be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Honor. That's another one. He's going to have honor, isn't he? Do you honor him in your life tonight? You know how you can honor the Lord Jesus in your life? You can obey your mommy. You can obey your daddy. And those of us that are in the assembly, we can honor God by honoring those that God has placed before us as those that are older ones. And to give them a happy entrance into heaven by us honoring them in the manner prescribed in the end of Hebrews. Jeremiah. Oh, he's going to be honored in this very earth that you're standing on. Jeremiah 33, verse 9. Or perhaps verse 7. 6. Boy, you just keep going earlier up in the chapter here, and there's more good things to read. We'll start with 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. It shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth. Won't that name be wonderful? It's like a fragrance that comes up out of this earth. It's like a fragrance. And it just brings such blessing as it goes over this earth. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name will be a blessing in this earth. Now we come down to glory. Oh, earlier we mentioned about His name being exalted, honored, extolled very high, very high. Oh, men love to push their names up high. You know, down our way in the United States, every 4 years or so, we take a name and we put it up this high, and then we try to push it higher and higher and higher, and then we have a big name, big name. And then a little later on, someone else finds out something wrong with that person, and that name starts to crumble. And we get another name, and we make that the high name, higher and higher. And it starts to crumble, and this has been going on for about 215 years. Oh, why not skip around all these names? Take the name of Jesus, little boy, little girl. Take the name of Jesus. Let that be your name. Let that name be exalted and extolled and be very high. The name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 2:10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Verse 22. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Take 10 of the most brilliant minds that ever lived, scientists, put them in a vacuum for 10 minutes. Some might make it, some might not. Put them in a vacuum for 20 minutes, and they're all dead. They're all dead. They're only good for 20 minutes or so, maybe less than that. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Oh, there's so much here. There's so much. God is going to exalt His Son so high in the midst of this earth that has brought Him so low. One cried unto another. Well, Isaiah 6, verse 2. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim, stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Oh, yes. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. Oh, yes, there's coming a time when all of man's glory, all of his buildings and schemes, it tells you what's going to happen to the big buildings in Vancouver and Seattle and Chicago. Los Angeles doesn't build them very tall, I might add. But they got to come down. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 25, a couple of pages. In the last sentence, the last four words of the 25th verse, when the towers fall, they got to go down. Why? Because the Lord is going to be exalted in that day, and He doesn't need those towers. He doesn't need men's architecture. Man has brought that all in for His own glory, His own advancement. The Lord says that all has to come down, and He shows how able He is to bring it down. He just shakes the earth a little bit. Felt it shake the other night, a couple weeks ago, in Seattle. By the way, children, next time it shakes, look for something like a lamp or something, and see if the lamp is moving this way or jumping up and down straight. And you can tell the way the Lord's moving the earth that way, see? You can tell if He's moving it this way or bouncing a little bit. He can do that. Well, we got to get on here. Isaiah 30:30. The Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard. This earth is going to hear His voice. Now, us as believers, we're going to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus too, aren't we? We're going to hear His voice. Oh, that will make our hearts sing forever. But this earth is going to hear the glorious... The Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard. Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, we got one to go here. Blessing. This earth. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. And verse... Well, let's read verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. And the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now the middle of this third verse is what I had in mind, where it says, His going forth is prepared as the morning. The way the Syriac people have translated that into their rendering comes up this way. His coming is as sure as the dawn. Beautiful. His coming is as sure as the dawn. Oh, His coming. His coming for you and I. That's our portion with Christ. You know, we have it, earth will have it beautiful. We have it better. How could that be? Oh, earth, the scripture has to use expressions like this. The trees of the field are going to clap their hands. And creation is going to sing. Because it's almost like He can't find words marvelous enough to explain what's going to happen here on this earth. There you have it. His going forth is prepared as the morning, or His coming is as sure as the dawn. Isaiah 60, verse 3. We're about done here. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Oh, there's going to be blessing. It's going to be blessing. You know, righteousness is going to reign. It's going to reign supreme. Death overcome victory. Satan is going to be bound. The curse is going to be removed. The lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see. Tears are all going to be wiped away. Creation is going to sing. The animal kingdom. Oh, the animal kingdom. Look out into the ocean. You see the ocean out there? It's so peaceful, so beautiful. inside that is just a cauldron of one animal eating another animal, eating another animal, eating another animal, eating another animal. Pain and misery. Oh, brother, it says, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. That thrills me. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. You go out into the woods, you say, I'll take a peaceful walk in the woods to get close to my Creator. Be careful of that. One of those little animals goes and eats another animal and eats another animal and eats another animal. Oh, it's terrible what sin has brought in. But there we read, we just about got to that place there in the early part of Isaiah when these animals that indeed are wild aren't going to be wild anymore. You know, it says the Lord Jesus was with the wild beasts. I think it's Mark, perhaps chapter 1. He was with the wild beasts. They weren't wild to him. No, they're wild to you and me. They're wild to you and me. But it says the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. Finally. Won't that be beautiful? Won't that be wonderful? And the streets of that city, I had a friend that went there to Jerusalem. Machine gunners, AK-47s, that sort of thing. Submachine guns on each intersection at night to keep peace in that city. City of the great king. No. Not then. Peace. Well, you and I can have peace within our hearts tonight. Now we'll just make a little plea here for the gospel. Do any of you children tonight, or older folks, are still standing outside the door when God is standing there with His Son, His hands open? Oh, you know what it says in the Psalm? It says, He openeth His hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Nothing will satisfy your heart, or my heart either, tonight, except Christ. There's no other man, no other being that can or thing that can satisfy your heart tonight, except what God has for your heart. There's only one answer to your life. There's only one answer for your heart. And that's somebody that loves you dearly, so much so, that he would yield up his life, his precious life, and he would give that precious blood. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us rebellious creatures to God. And even now, we don't have to wait for this millennial time. Even now, right now, tonight, perfect peace, and at such a time as this. Perfect peace. I don't do this, and I don't intend to do it. But if somebody could say, everybody just close their eyes, and the people that are saved, raise your hand, the people that are lost, keep their hand down. What would happen in this room tonight? I would wonder. Is everybody in here sheltered in the precious blood of Christ? Or do you have some man before you, some earthly scheme, some thing that man has generated to occupy your time? Well, it just will occupy your time until God takes and wipes it all away and He brings in for this earth blessedness. Now, heaven doesn't have much of what we've talked about tonight, struggles and trials, no. The heaven of heavens is already a subtle peace. A throne of God doesn't get upset with either earthquakes or men's schemes or plans. No, it's at peace. But what my thought was tonight, along on top of all this, was to ask the question, is there peace in your heart tonight? Shall we pray?